Welcome, everybody, this morning. We've got the electricity figured out, battery power going. I'm still not going to tell you how old Diana is, but I did want to say one thing. The church, the decorations, so thank Mrs. Rehberger back there for handling all this. Shirley does all this and takes care of flowers and things, so, and does a great job. So we appreciate the changes that she makes as we go through the seasons and through the thing. So thank you very much for that. We appreciate that. So probably going to hear a little bit from that you heard in Lent and some that you heard in Sunday school downstairs. It always happens, you know, there's always kind of a prelude to what I'm going to talk about that comes up in Sunday school or comes up in things, which is a good thing. So that's just a confirmation for me that that's right, that we're all on the same page. And I did have a thing I wanted Lisa to play this morning. I had one and thought, well, we'll use it. And then I went and got my message done, and then I come across a different one, so I changed it on her. So she's got a short video to play for you this morning, if you're ready.
A week before his resurrection, and just days before his crucifixion, Jesus entered the holy city of Jerusalem. He did not enter that city like a king. There was no chariot, there was no mighty horse. He entered that city on a donkey. Outside the city, the crowds gathered around to see their king, and they laid their palm branches on the dusty road, and they shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heaven." Hosanna simply means God save us. And that simple prayer echoes across time. 2,000 years ago, the Jerusalem crowds shouted Hosanna to their king on that dusty road. And 2,000 years later, wherever we are, we shout Hosanna, even still. Hosanna in the highest heaven. Hosanna in the lowest moments. Hosanna in the green pastures. Hosanna in the darkest valleys. Hosanna in the crowded cities. Hosanna in the open spaces. Hosanna in every church. Hosanna in every home. Hosanna in the victories. Hosanna in the failures. Hosanna in the beautiful beginnings. And Hosanna in the bitter endings. Hosanna in the days of trial. Hosanna in the days of plenty. Hosanna in the days of sadness. Hosanna in the days of celebration. Hosanna in the morning and Hosanna in the evening. Hosanna in the sunshine and darkness. Hosanna in the years of waiting. Hosanna in the seasons of blessing. Hosanna all the time. Hosanna everywhere. Hosanna forever. Hosanna to the sun. Hosanna in the highest.
Thanks, Lisa. You know, everybody likes parades. Who doesn't like a parade? You know, like, there's different kinds of parades. You know, you go to North Salem on in September, you see the tractor parade. If you like tractors, that's the one to go to. Hundreds of tractors. That's about it, but hundreds of tractors. You got Santa's parade and Easter parade and Thanksgiving parades and 4th of July parades, you know. Everybody likes parades, especially the kids, you know, lots of things to see. You know, they got different cars hauling different people, maybe see horses coming through, floats, if you're lucky. Some of them have a lot of floats, cycles of all kinds, bicycles, motorcycles, and possibly a unicycle might come through. People dressed up. You might see a clown or you might see a mascot for some business or something come through. But mostly it's the goodies they pass out. You know, you get small toys and trinkets and frisbees and fans sometimes, and pamphlets get passed out, but mostly candy. And the candy's what's the important part. Everyone who brings big bags in anticipation of filling it with the goodies. You know, and then much of the parade you end up missing because you're running around filling the bag with goodies, picking up all those pieces and sampling them off to the side, and you tend to miss what's going by. Then it tends to be more about what we can take with us than what we saw. You know, how was the parade? You ask your grandkids, how was the parade? Well, that's equivalent to how large the bag of candy is. That depends on how good it was, how much they were able to fill it up. And they usually have it laid out. We got all this stuff. And, you know, Jesus, we celebrate the parade he was in this week. You know, he was in the parade. He was the main entry, the only entry. He did have a donkey, but that was enough. That was enough. You know, he was kind of famous now. People had heard of his miracles and what he could do for people. You know, he'd just come from Lazarus, restoring him back to life after 4 days in the tomb, which was a big thing because Jewish people, after you could maybe come back after three, but after 3 days, spirit was gone. You know, not going to happen after that. So Jesus waited till day four to bring Lazarus back. So word got around even without texting and cell phones. You know, word traveled fast, and they heard him coming. I'm going to read two of the passages this morning just because they're a little bit different and add different context to it. But we're going to read, start with Luke 19, 28 through 44. And then we're going to read Mark 11, 1 through 10. But starting with Luke 19, 28 to 44. And if you're new, we do read out of the NIV. It says, after Jesus has said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. And as he approached Bethpage and Bethany at the hill called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying to them, go to the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you'll find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, why are you untying it? Say, the Lord needs it. Those who were sent ahead went and found it just as he had told them. As they were untying the colt, its owners asked them, why are you untying the colt? And they replied, the Lord needs it. And they brought it to Jesus, threw their cloaks on the colt, and put Jesus on it. And as he went along, people spread their cloaks on the road. When he came near the place where the road goes down the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory to the highest. Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, Teacher, rebuke your disciples. I tell you, he replied, if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out. As he approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it and said, if you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace, but now it is hidden from your eyes. The days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment against you and encircle you and hem you in on every side. They will dash you to the ground, you and your children within your walls. They will not leave one stone on another because you did not recognize the time of God's coming to you. And then if we go to Matthew 11, 1 through 10. It says, as they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethpage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples, saying to them, go to the village ahead of you, and just as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it to me. And if anyone asks you, why are you doing this? Say, the Lord needs it, and we'll send it back here shortly. They went and found a colt outside in the street, tied at a doorway. And as they untied it, some people standing there asked, what are you doing untying that colt? And they answered as Jesus had told them to, and the people let them go. And when they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks over it, he sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, while others spread branches they had cut in the fields. Those who went ahead and those who followed shouted, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest heaven." So here comes Jesus. You know, he knew his purpose. You know, and always before he says, "My time has not yet come." You know, he repeated that when things happened, "My time has not yet come." Now it has. His time had come. Many, many people were heading out to welcome him. You know, he's riding on a donkey that had never been ridden. You know, before horses became popular, donkeys were ridden by kings. And only the king could ride his donkey. And a donkey was a sign of a king, but also a sign of peace. You know, he came for peace. This is what one of the things people misunderstood. They didn't know why he was coming. They had a notion, a preconceived notion on why he was coming and what they wanted, but this wasn't why he was coming. They didn't really understand. They didn't realize what king he would be to them. The Romans certainly weren't threatened by one man riding a donkey in town, you know. But if only people had submitted to Jesus like that donkey did. In the Bible, donkeys are a lot smarter than people sometimes. Well, the crowd gathered and they placed their cloaks and they placed palm branches down on the path, a sign of a king or a conqueror coming back. And I'm not going to go into all the prophecies, but prophecy after prophecy was fulfilled, even up to the exact day Jesus entered Jerusalem, just as God's word said it would be. Multiple Old Testament books pointed to this day, and it all happened just as God said. Everyone flocking to welcome Jesus and praising God. Sometimes it's easy to join in when everybody's doing it. You know, you start something, you know, you start a ball game, have a bunch of people come, they start cheering, start doing things together, more in unison. A lot of times saying and doing things they wouldn't normally do if they were somewhere else. But the crowd's all there. Makes it easy. Because it's easy to be the same when you're in the large group. Same thing you could say for riots. You know, it might start with a couple people, then a couple more join in, and then a lot more join in because everybody's doing it. So it's okay, I can get by with it. May not be what I would normally do, but now I can do it because the group's doing it. Everybody joined in to put palm branches down. Everybody joined in to welcome him in because they thought they knew what was in store. A few days later, they would come together again. But only this time they're not shouting, "Hosanna." It's crucified. Crucifying. Many of these same people still join the other crowd now. Hosanna is a praise word these days. It actually means in Jewish, "save" or "save us now." You know, they knew the deliverer was coming. And they thought it was Jesus due to the miracles and other things that he did for them. But then he didn't turn it into a physical battle against the Romans. He didn't gather people together. He didn't start a militia. He didn't start to make plans to fight the Romans. The Jews wanted delivered from Romans rule. Jesus had other plans for a much greater deliverance. Jesus didn't fit into that box that the Jews wanted him in. You know, he didn't respond to their calls the way they thought he should. You know, he didn't battle against the Romans at all. You know, what a disappointment for them. You know, he isn't who we thought he was. He didn't answer our call. You know, we saw miracles and things he could give us, so we expected more. You know, we expected him to serve us further with deliverance from Roman rule. We went to the parade. We came home empty-handed. You know, Jesus doesn't fit into what many people want him to be today either. He isn't the genie in the bottle that grants all of our wishes. He isn't the God that takes away all of our problems. He isn't a God who makes it easy in life every single day. He isn't the one who does what I want him to do, how I want him to do it, and when I want it done. He doesn't do any of those things. So we think we might as well try it ourselves in our own way. Do it myself, my way. Notice while the crowd cheered as it got close to Jerusalem, Jesus wept. Quite the opposite. You know, he knew the people was going to reject him. And that chose death over life. And they would try to resolve things on their own. They tried to do it their way, the way they wanted. And the result was the destruction in AD 70. They lost the temple. They lost their lives. They lost everything. It's what happens when you reject Jesus. You lose everything. Sometimes circumstances around us get to us, but if your faith is based on the circumstances around you, then you don't have a true faith. At the very least, it's not a committed faith. It comes and goes based on needs being met. Well, Jesus desires to give us more than what we think we need, or what we know we need, or what we even want. He has something better in mind than what we can imagine. He's got a much greater plan for us than we have for ourselves. You know, Jesus cleaned out the temple when he arrived a little bit later too, but he wants to clean out your temple too. You know, but you got to let him. You know, he wants to restore you to what he wants you to be. But you have to have the desire for it. And you have to submit to it. I'm going to have an invitation in a minute. I got a little joke with somebody. Some pastors have catchphrases, you know. We were talking about this the other day. You know, we have an old pastor we talked about that his catchphrase was, "Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad?" Some of you may remember him, some may not. You know, another one was, "My, oh my, oh my." Most of you probably know that one. Maybe mine's, "We're going to have an invitation in a minute." Because that means, shortly it means things are wrapping up and about completed. And I'm not mad, it's funny, I like it. So they use this when they're out and about, say, "It's about time for an invitation. About time to wrap this up. It's about over with." So I'm not sure if that's what everyone thinks. You know, maybe you do. I say that. Maybe in your mind, almost lunchtime. Maybe it pops into your mind. But an invitation is a time for you to come to Jesus with basically anything. You know, at your seat's fine. But the altar's a special place to be with God. You know, even in the front row, if it's hard to kneel, I understand. Even in the front row's a special place. You know, we should be shouting, "Hosanna." You know, you can come up just to praise God. Maybe that's what it's for. Just to thank him for who he is. Thank him for what he's done for you. Thank him for what he's doing for you right now in your life. You know, if you don't shout out, Jesus said the rocks would. Be better than a rock. Praise him in all things and trust him. And I'd like you to stand and close your eyes. We're going to have the invitation and sing a song in just a second. But if you would just stand with me. Just bow your head, close your eyes if you would. Just think about those things. You know, what does Hosanna mean to you? You know, maybe Hosanna to you is a shout to save me now. What is it you need saved from? You know, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, now's the time. Don't wait. Don't reject life for death. You know, we're not guaranteed tomorrow. Maybe say you don't need saved, you're good. Be careful with that. As we talk downstairs, no one is good. Only God is good. We need to know who we are. If you are saved, I don't want you to have any doubts. I don't want you to second guess it. I want you to know, be assured of that. But I guarantee there's probably things you do need saved from. Maybe you need His grace for a family sickness. Maybe it's Hosanna from a health issue that you have. Say, Lord, I've fought this a long time. I need Your saving. Maybe it's Hosanna from that issue that my marriage has. Maybe the marriage has some difficulties in it. It's not what it's supposed to be. Maybe you need a marriage saved. Maybe it's Hosanna that I feel lost. I don't feel like I have a direction. I feel like I'm wandering a little bit. Maybe it's Hosanna, show me Your way. Maybe it's Hosanna from the anger I carry or the pain I carry. I've carried it around for far too long. It's just too heavy to carry any longer. Maybe Hosanna to take that away. Maybe it's Hosanna for my family that doesn't get along. Maybe there's infighting. Maybe there's arguments. Maybe they don't even speak to each other now. Maybe it's Hosanna for my family. Maybe it's Hosanna for the evil worldly ways that try to get us, that call out to us, try to draw us into it. Maybe just give us strength to fight those things. Maybe it's Hosanna for my attitudes and my choices. Save me from those bad choices, the attitudes I choose to carry. If you say Hosanna, if you call out, God will respond. God will save you from those things. If you choose to call Him and give it to Him, say Hosanna today. The altar, the front row, even your seats open to do that today. Let's pray. Father, as we come to this time, we are wrapping it up, Lord. But it's open for